Good afternoon and welcome to the WEEI Afternoon Show. As you can already tell, different voice in your ear. Andy Jumbo Hart here sliding into that big old host one seat that's normally occupied by the much louder Christian Arcan. Prides himself on that seat. Well, apparently he needs to pride himself on taking some vitamins because all that yelling at me over the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks finally caught up to him. His throat couldn't take it anymore, just like some of our ears at times couldn't take it. And he is he's on the IL, so to speak. He is not going to be able to make it in for the show today. Promises me he'll be back tomorrow. But don't worry, we have plenty of capable throats to join the show today. And there's a guy with a big throat who's right in front of you if you're on your Twitch stream. Nick Fitzy-Stevens is putting together a show for the first 2 hours here, 2 to 4. It'll be the Six Rings boys taking over because Fitzgerald from the Fitz Studio. Do you call it the Fitz Studio over there where you're joining us on the Twitch stream, Fitzy? Because I'm calling it the Fitz Studio, and the Fitz Studio needs to talk about what is a sneaky big football game for your New England Patriots this week.
That's right, Christian Arcan here joining Andy Hart on the afternoon show on WEEI. I got to stop yelling at you, damn it.
That's Fitzy's impression. Like most of Fitzy's jokes, they're still being workshopped, so everybody knows that. We've been dealing.
I like to think of it as a sort of like a grumpy Harrison Ford. That's my arc.
Okay.
Like when I seek inspiration, I always like start my impersonations with like a celebrity sound alike and then just muck it up from there. Yes, I'm coming to you today, Andy, from the Fitzatorium, as you can see at twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Looking, as I told Stiz Grimy, freshly worked out, shaved, and showered, like an elder Matthew Modine from Vision Quest. I got my Pat Riley hair going. I got the gray sweatshirt. All I got to do is climb the pegboard behind me and give you 2 solid hours, and we'll have a day because I'm crazy for you.
I thought you had your vampire costume on earlier. Your hair gives me a little vampire vibe to it, getting ready for the holiday that's a couple weeks away. Yes, we got.
Speaking of sucking blood out of the young, how about those Patriots?
One loss, two loss.
Keep going. Like LeBron, keep going. Keep going.
What?
This team's
number
up to
one
it.
Draft pick, 2, 3.
But we do have an exciting show today. We have Adam Schefter in his usual 3:45 spot, which I'm actually really looking forward to based on a couple big trades in the division yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's starting what feels like maybe could be a more active and star-studded NFL trade deadline over the next couple weeks. We will talk to old friend Mike Giardi at 4:25-ish, get his thoughts on this Patriots team that's gotten a little energetic boost from Drake May and that moral victory, if not a real victory. It was a real 20-point loss, but whatever.
But also had another player once again run into the law for whatever reason. And
yep.
I'm just wondering, Andy, I know we've got a lot of things we want to get to up at the top of the show, but with this new culture, with this new silo-free, cooperative, collaborative environment, who are we cooperating and collaborating with most? Our teammates or local law enforcement?
There's some debate there, and cooperation with local law enforcement might be on the agenda to be taught at the practices for the Patriots.
Holy
in the coming
smokes.
Weeks. We will get into that later this hour. And then at 4 o'clock, we will have the return to the 2 to 6 program of Mego, fresh off a visit to Gillette Stadium, fresh off a very interesting chat with Pop Douglas at his locker. Some really optimistic tone from the Patriots, I guess, number one receiver coming off his first career NFL touchdown and talking about the swagger that his new quarterback brings. But Fitzy, I want to start with this. We mentioned it. Patriots head to London. The Jaguars already in London.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguars 1-5. Patriots 1-5. Something's gotta give across the
pond. No matter who wins, we all lose.
Kind of. And it's early, so you'll have your coffee, maybe a good donut to get you through. Maybe you put a little something-something in your coffee to get you through if you're a fan of one of these two teams. But both teams, as Kendrick Bourne put so succinctly and refreshingly honestly, playing bad football. Bad teams playing bad football. Something's gotta give. Do you want it to be your New England Patriots that give? Do you want your New England Patriots to win this game? Because I think an argument can be made, absolutely. Drake May needs a win. He's talking about wins. Mayo's talking about wins. The culture needs a win. The fan base needs a win. Everybody needs a win. The argument for the victory is obvious. So too, my friend Fitzy, is the argument against a win. Because it is definitely looking like Doug Peterson's Jaguars. For how long will they be Doug Peterson's Jaguars? Not sure. And the New England Patriots under Gerard Mayo may be vying for the number one pick in next April's draft. And if you lose to the Jaguars, you're kind of now two games down on them, right? Because you have one more win, and then they have the tiebreaker. Would you rather have the number one pick? Are we in a multi-year rebuild here where wins are actually a bad thing and getting the higher pick next April is the better thing? So 617-779-7937, 37937 if you want to answer that question, join the conversation. I'm sure we will have passionate fans on both sides of the argument. And Fitzy, you are a passionate fan. So which side of the argument do you fall on?
It's not going to make you happy in the least bit, and there are going to be a million people that are going to say, well, what's that going to do next year when we miss out on the first overall pick because of that stupid win in London at Wembley Stadium? Yeah, I do want to see them win, and if there was one game I want to see these Patriots win again, because I like long passes, because I like touchdowns, and because, strangely enough, I'm addicted to my football team winning and joy, Andy. If there was one game I want to see them win, it would be in front of 90,000 fans, many of which are going to be wearing a combination of different NFL gear and attire. You'll probably see a lot of people there with a Pats jersey, a Dolphins hat, and a Chargers kerchief because it's such a disparate, odd fan base. But I want to see them on the big stage with Rich Eisen on the call win this game. And I think it's an inevitability because Drake May finished last week middle of the pack in terms of all QB rankings, but the best by far of all the rookie quarterbacks. The offense does, he has some aura. The offense does have a little momentum and a little swag now. And you are going up against by far, the worst defense in the NFL. The Jags have the 31st ranked rush defense, 32nd ranked pass defense. So if you were going to get just that one game, you know, if we're looking for that one calling card that the team can then put out on the front of their LinkedIn page and all the socials to say, hey, T.A. Higgins, hey, left tackle of the future, hey, all these people we want to overpay to come play for us next year, look what he did when there was nobody else, when there was no other game to watch except Pats, Jags. Look what this kid can do. And if they lose the rest of the games, fine by me, because as long as they get a top three pick, I'm good with it.
Top three pick? That seems to be the sentiment, because I've already gotten multiple texts. As long as I get a top three pick. Well, the difference between a top three pick can be significant. For example, this year's draft, if you had the fourth pick, let's just say somebody said, I don't care as long as I have top four pick. Well, you would be outside the reach of the three franchise quarterbacks who have already shown they may be true franchise quarterbacks the way they fell in the draft with Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. So while it's easy to say, oh, as long as I get a top three pick or a top five pick or a top 10 pick, every pick matters, and Fitzgerald, it's not just in the first round. I always believe people lose focus of this. You also get that pick in the second round, the third round, and we often see, oh, so-and-so went 33rd, and we picked 34, and we missed out on X. We could have got a receiver. We could have got a pass rusher, whatever it may be. So I don't look at it that way. I want the number one pick. I'll be honest, Sunday's game against the Texans, I enjoyed very much so. I told you this on the Six Rings postgame show. They made plays with Drake May. They were entertaining. They scored some points. They were exciting. And they lost. That is my desire for the bulk of the rest of the season. And I know that, oh my God, they would never tank. And Elliot Wolf told that to Andrew Callahan early in the year. Well, it's not tanking if you just stink. If you put your best players on the field, but your best players don't measure up because you either built the roster poorly in the offseason, either intentionally or unintentionally, or you've had injuries and you've been decimated and there's some attrition here, whatever you want to blame it on, I expect them to put their best players on the field, even in a week with Gerard Mayo promising changes to the starting lineup based on the way things are going. But I also wouldn't mind if they come up short. And Fitzy, do you like polls?
Sure I do, as long as they're rankings.
Wait, you remember that pole vaulter from the Olympics? You don't like pole vaulters?
Well, I mean, there are certain pole vaulters that showed us more than other pole vaulters. But yeah, you know what I like doing, Andy? Hearing from the people.
Speaking of big polls, we have a poll I just put out on social media via X, Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it, at Jungle
Heart. Twix.
Twix? Okay, Twix. Twix. Now you're making me hungry, and I don't need to be eating a Twix right now. At Jumbo Heart on Twix, Twitter, or X, I said, as a Patriots fan, do you really want the team to win Sunday in London against the Jaguars? A game that could very much affect the number one pick in next April's NFL draft. It's been up for less than a half hour. We got like 550 votes right out the gates.
Right.
Yes, win helps culture, 65%.
Look at that. Would you look? Here we go, right here. I'm going to go ahead and just maybe even skew it a little higher.
Oh, you're skewing it.
Now it's 65.3%. Yes, win helps culture. No, get the number one pick. Look, Andy, there's going to be, there's, all right, so I just, right before we jumped on, you know, brag, wow, what a get. I had a lovely chat.
How did we ever get Fitzy to fill in? I mean, I was like, Stephen A. Smith, not available. Okay, huh. Shannon Sharp, not available. And then they were like, but Fitzy is. And I was like, oh, Fitzy's better than those guys anyway.
I was going to say, hold on a second, because I just, none of them just had a lovely lunchtime chat with Max Chadwick from Pro Football Focus, who told me.
Who the hell is Max Chadwick?
He is the top college football analyst for Pro Football Focus and big Drake May fan. And
join the club.
Yeah,
what's his name, Max?
He'd been there all year, son. He told me the top three picks in next year's draft, two tackles and a wide receiver, any one of them, and then there's Travis Hunter. So basically the top four picks, any one of them would be a supremely good fit with the Patriots as well. And I'm sure the more they see Drake May ball out, the more they see this team show some resilience in the face of, obviously, a decrepit roster. Spoiler alert, Pro Football Focus thinks the Patriots are the worst roster in the league, and it's not even close. Sorts of numbers back it up. Yeah, and the pro football hosts of Fitzy and Hart here on WEEI think the same as well. Yeah, worst receiver grade, fourth worst offensive line, everything. There is a lot to pick from, but these guys need to pick up a little bit of that momentum. And look, if the rest of the way, if they win Sunday, right, if they shove it in Mac Jones's face, if they're the reason why Doug Peterson gets canned and we get our revenge for the garbage parade that was Super Bowl 52, and he's on his way and he's flying coach on the way home, and then the Patriots lose every game the rest of the way, 35-28, 38-31, give us all sorts of shootouts and exciting football to watch, I'd be fine with it. I just want to see if I'm going to focus on one game that early in the morning with a bunch of season ticket members before you and I do the postgame show. I want to see him sling it all over someone else's yard.
Me too. I want to see him sling it all over the yard. I want to see him throw maybe three touchdowns like he did last week. And I want him to lose because this is going to be a critical game. It just is. The Jaguars don't look like they're going anywhere. Now, I know anything can happen.
The Panthers are not going to win another game. I have bad news for you. The Panthers are not going to win another game. The Patriots are going to win a game by accident.
Are you sure?
Win one. But the Panthers suck.
You sure?
They are super bad.
Are your Patriots good?
The Patriots are better than the Panthers, and that's not.
Well, they don't play, so we'll never know. It's about how they play their schedules. Because I agree with you. If they had to play the Panthers, I would probably pick the Patriots to win that game. But I will also tell you, Vegas, our friends in the books, have the Patriots as a 5.5-point underdog to these.
Mind blower to me. What that? I'm Pat's money line, Pat's spread. Why? What have the Jaguars done? Honestly, what have the Jaguars done to merit being 8.5 points on base? I mean, that's 5.5 points. That's 8.5 points on a neutral site.
No, it's 8.5 points if it were at Jacksonville. This is a neutral site.
Five and a half on a neutral site, 8.5 in
right.
Jacksonville.
Right.
That's absurd. It was a 20-point game, but the Patriots at least showed a lot of fortitude and fight against the best defensive rush in the league and a damn good team that could be vying for the AFC championship in the Texans. The Jaguars cannot get out of their own way. I don't see how the Jags have any business being favored over anyone.
It is a curious spread, and I'm by no means, I don't pretend to be an expert in the gambling area. I like to dabble.
I heard a FanDuel ad for you 25 minutes ago.
Oh, and I nail the hell out of my parlays. Nail the hell out of them, as was brought to my attention. My Patriots parlay from this past Sunday, cha and ching.
Smacked.
If you listened to Andy during his FanDuel commercial, you made some coin.
We're going to have to start calling you Hammer Heart around here because you are absolutely just crushing your picks.
Damn right, baby. But this game, I don't really totally understand why the Patriots are a 5.5-point underdog, but I want it to be so. And I'd be happy if I'm a Patriots fan, take the points, lose the game. That should be the theory all year long. Take the points, lose the game. Should be a slogan we just play show after show here, afternoons, six rings. Take the points, lose the game. Because you want the number one pick. You want to be able to trade down. I was perusing a mock draft just this morning posted. Yes, it's October, but yes, there's mock drafts. God. And
it's still apple cider season. It's not even Halloween and we're already in mock draft season. What are we doing?
Shedeur Sanders going number one overall. Shedeur, I'll trade that pick so you can give me three first round picks and I can build my team. Because I think the one thing we can all agree on, we're not going to agree, all of us, apparently 65% of you people out there, that's the first one, Fitzy, took to 220 for the first you people reference. Want the Patriots to win? You don't want the draft pick on Sunday, which, I mean, the win on Sunday or the loss on Sunday, which help you get the draft pick come April, and that's fine. But I think the one thing we can all agree on, just like Pro Football Focus said, this team has a lot of holes, and if I can pick up multiple first-round picks while also drafting a tackle or wide receiver in the top 10, and then using another first-round pick or a first-round pick in the future to trade around, to get a tackle, to get a wide receiver. I also think sneaky need developing, Fitzgerald, pass rusher, baby. Sold on the pass rush specialist this team's had after it got rid of Matthew Judon and told me all these other guys were going to step up because they have not.
Yeah, I know. Anfernee Jennings is the only one who, and Dietrich Wise are the only ones who reputably seem to hold the line. Keon White is too far upfield more often than he should be. Josh Uche, what would you say you do here? And, you know, I understand the trading of Matthew Judon for picks on a team that needs volume as well as value out of its future football players as well. But the pass rush has been nowhere to be seen. And I don't know, because I think what they did was looked at last year's tape and said, we found a way to generate it last year. We'll get it. Yeah, well, what you're doing is you're missing one of the more disruptive interior defensive linemen in the NFL in Christian Barmore. And without him, you're not going to be able to generate or scheme up as many pass rushes as you think. And by the way, if you're feeling like you want to watch a shootout, Andy, that ends with the Jags watching away with Her Majesty's Royal Dub by 1-6 to however many points, considering the Patriots' injury report from Wednesday, you may just get that as well as a guarantee for me that if you bet the over, you'll pay for Christmas.
Betting the over? Bad defenses, quarterbacks that might just get right and get hot against the other. I don't hate the idea of a 9:30 a.m. shootout between the Patriots and the Jags, seeing my guy Drake May sling it all over the field. I know he's looking to do that because he said just today, and we'll hear more from him later, that his confidence comes from completions, and we like seeing him complete passes, just not enough to win a football game. So there it is. Table is set. Do you actually want the Patriots to beat the Jaguars in London Sunday morning? If indeed it would hurt their draft pick status, which it would, they're both 1-5 teams. Patriots right now hold the number one pick, way too early to look at those types of things. I would like the Patriots to lose the game so they can get the picks. Fitzy wants them to win the game so he can get some excitement in mid-October. And you, the fan, 617-779-7937, how do you feel? Shoot us a text at 37937. Do you actually want the Patriots to lose on Sunday? My vote on Twitter says no, but some of the voices out there, I think, will say yes. 617-779-7937. We'll hit the calls after Stiz. The Stizzard of Oz gives you all the news from the sports world in what's trending on WEEI. We are walking the line here on the WEEI Afternoon Show, and apparently when you sit in this big chair, you just let it breathe a little longer. Now, and I felt my inner Greg Hill just coming through. It's like, let it breathe. Let Johnny speak. Johnny's the man. Let him go. Cash. That's good stuff. That's
good stuff,
Stiz. That was good stuff. Oh, I don't have heartburn.
That's Johnny Cash.
That's what I said.
I mean, Johnny Cash, there's no, even the worst Johnny Cash, which there is no such thing. There's none. Only great Johnny Cash. It's all top shelf. I mean, When the Man Comes Around, one of my top 10 songs.
Well, Boy Named Sue has generally been my favorite song of all time. I don't know when I first heard it, but since I was a little kid, which is weird because it's not like I grew up with a weird name and somehow connected to it and felt this unique interpretation of it. It's just a good song. And then he's got that, you know what people don't listen to enough? And Stiz, you should look this up because I know you're a budding Christmas guy.
Yep.
Some of those, but he has a Christmas song is probably a bit much. It's one of those like spoken word type things about how they grew up so poor and like didn't have anything for Christmas. And my wife despises it, and I love it. When it comes on my like playlist for Christmas, she gets so angry, but it's so good.
Okay, and that tracks completely, because at some point or another during the show I was going to ask you, but you have outed yourself previously, or just described yourself as frugal, if not thrifty.
Absolutely.
You've said cheap, but I like rebranding cheap in a positive way. We're all past positive here on the afternoon show and on the Six Rings postgame and pod. So I like to think frugal, resourceful, thinking of a future where you'll have money in your pocket as opposed to just living in the now. Mm. I was going to ask you, you know, if you had...
No.
Because I haven't either. I haven't turned the heat on yet.
I knew what you were going to ask. We've done so many shows together, I didn't need to hear him ask the question.
November 1st.
Have you turned your heat on yet? Absolutely not. It's hoodie season. It's blanket season. Put something extra on. Get your sweatpants out the drawer and do all of that. It's way too early.
Layer up, mofos.
Exactly. Stiz, we're shooting for Thanksgiving. I shoot for Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving?
Not only do we get
Holy
a turkey
smokes,
that day,
bro.
But we get heat. Tonight, it truly is a day to be thankful.
I saw on the weather this morning, tonight's dropping down to like low 30s.
Okay. And? You got walls, right? There's insulation in those walls. You get a bed. You get a blanket.
You see
right?
what I get paid? I live in a box.
Well, double up the box tonight.
I'm on Styro Drive.
Find another refrigerator box.
But no, I absolutely have not turned the heat on yet. And it has been a little chilly at night, but you'll get over it. We're all tough
human
beings.
So tracks, though, with your wife being up. So like, yeah, of course you like the one where Johnny Cash is talking about not having much. And you're like, look at this bounty of things we have. We have wool socks. We have hoodies. We got his promos at the radio station. Come on, layer up, people.
I'll even pay for a hot chocolate if you want. I bought a case of them at BJ's, so you're ready to get a hot chocolate if you need a little something to warm you from the inside. But what would warm you from the inside, Patriots fans? Would it be a win on Sunday, Wembley Stadium, over the Jaguars to improve to 2-5 on the season, but in doing so, hurting your chances at the number one overall pick in April? Or would you rather... they put up a fight, good fight, maybe come up a little short, make some plays, but Trevor Lawrence and company, Doug Peterson, steal the win. Let's look at the text line before we get to the calls, and we are coming to you, 617-779-7937. Andy, this is from the 401. I'm torn, 50-50. I want to win, but I wouldn't mind a good draft pick. I'm conflicted. It's like asking a child to choose an adult during a divorce. LMFAO.
Oh, I'm not going. Wait.
I'm not sure that's an LMFAO.
No, there is never an LMFAO.
I made that kid pick an adult.
are we really saying that this is now the Sophie's choice of Patriots Nation?
Yeah, and we may have this choice a few more times as the season rolls on, but it's the first and strongest of Sophie's choices. It is a split. We want the Pats to lose. We need the picks. I really want Travis Hunter. There was a couple on the text line that wanted to see the victory. And now we will go to the phone lines to hear from the people, 617-779-7937. We'll start things off with Ryan in Boston. And I'm trying to click. Okay, not Ryan. We're going to Rob. Okay, Stiz, can you pot these up? Apparently we do need Harkand around here. I don't know how to do the freaking call screener. Because there it is. Rob taking it to the airs for the first caller. Now I learned how to use the call screener. I'm really advancing here at WEEI. Rob, what do you think about this game Sunday? Do you want the Patriots to win or lose?
Oh, tanking is for losers. I totally want them to win. Okay. I think they should win the best. And the other big concern I have, take a look at Carolina. What have they ever done? They've been in the bottom of the top of the draft for years, and they still stink. I think you need to build a winning mentality. And my other concern is, do you trust the Patriots in being able to draft, right? So I don't even know if I trust them to be doing a free agency. So that's my biggest concern.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for the call. And I think that is a massive question that we will touch on moving forward. If you did get the number one pick, or whatever, you get a top five pick, and you have $130 million, and you have extra picks, do you trust them to make the selection? Because one game in... I think we all feel pretty good about the Drake May era. Is that correct, Fitzy?
Oh, the era itself, questionable still. That's a TBD. Drake May, absolutely.
Yeah, but
the player itself,
but it's all
going to be dependent upon the team around him, Andy.
Well, see, I disagree with that. I think if he's what I think he is, it isn't dependent on the team around him. Because you know what? The team has changed around Josh Allen in Buffalo for many years. And you know what has been consistent? He wins the division. He looks down upon the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Patriots. That's what franchise quarterbacks do. Patrick Mahomes, I know he's a budding goat out there in Kansas City. He wins. It's not pretty. But how many losses does he have, Fitzgerald, this season?
He's got zero on the season, Seto, which is the same number of touchdown passes he's thrown the last couple of weeks. However,
winning
this
matters.
Is not a shot at Patrick Mahomes. This ain't me. This isn't Mahomes catching strays or me hating on the best quarterback in the league right now. This is about the infrastructure that those players either were drafted into or that they put together around him. That was a playoff caliber team that Patrick Mahomes was chosen to play on when he sat behind Alex Smith all year. The Buffalo Bills had a number of draft picks that they stockpiled over the years so they could build a quality team around Josh Allen. Listen, prime Josh Allen, prime Tom Brady, prime Patrick Mahomes, prime Otto Graham, prime anybody is not going to win a whole hell of a lot of football games on this roster right now. Hate to say it.
Well, the roster right now. So you're making my point, and I appreciate that, Fitzgerald, because you want draft picks. You want the best players possible to join this roster next March and April, and therefore you should be rooting for the Patriots to lose to the Jaguars. We've actually had one creative thinker on the text line, which isn't all that creative, but the 413, how about a tie? Wouldn't the European fans, the UK Patriots fans, wouldn't the global audience for breakfast on NFL Network love to watch a 1-5 Patriots team tie a 1-5 Jaguars team? What do you think of that?
That would be thoroughly unsatisfactory.
Yeah, that would.
Nobody wants to end in a tie. Please, no, no. Life is not. I mean, life is all about navigating and trafficking in the gray. But nobody wants the game itself to mirror the skies above Wembley Sunday. Hell no. I want a definitive winner as well.
And
also,
a loser.
By the way, and a loser. I'd say the only loser is going to be somebody who's afraid of betting on this game because the over-under is 42.5. They might score that many points in the first half.
Wow, you are really confident about the over.
I am
super confident.
I am considering actually funding the app, not just rolling with what I have in there, but funding the app and getting after this one Sunday.
Those poor kids of yours, college fund, gone. Daddy had a feeling. He was hooked on a feeling in London. By 12:30 on Sunday.
Remember how I told you that your grandfather, R.I.P., was kicked out of the house for gambling and had to move to Quincy by himself back in the 80s? What if your dad said he wanted to do a really broad invitation?
That would be terrible. 617-779-7937. Now that I know how to use the call screener, I'm going to go to Ryan and get his thoughts on the Patriots and Sunday's game against the Jags. Ryan, what's up?
Great. Thanks, guys. Hey, Fitzy, big fan of yours.
Hey, thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, Andy, big fan of yours, too. Man. You're awesome.
Andy, you know how I feel about you, bro. You know how I feel about you. I call all the time. But with that being said, listen, I want a good pick, but the Patriots' offensive line woes have survived three iterations of this afternoon show. But when I mention that, I say that they can't draft. They need a wide receiver. So, to me, Andy, I called last week and I said, hey, I don't like the guy personally. I think he's a bit of a malcontent. But I said, why don't you pick up the phone, you call the Raiders, you see what you can give him for Devontae.
Yep.
Now, that's washed ashore. That's gone. Now you see this arms race that's going on in the AFC East. You have the young kid. So if it's me, you watch the rest of the league, you see that there's a bit of trouble in grunge paradise over in Seattle. Maybe you call Seattle and say, hey, what's it going to take for DK? Mm-hmm. Short contract, mm-hmm. expires in 2025. You lock him up, 165, I don't know, 110 guaranteed for like 6 years or something. I don't see the trouble.
Ryan, thanks for the call. And I don't see the problem with your plan because I like it. And when we talk at 3:45 with Adam Schefter, we are going to ask him about the potential for the Patriots. Now, I was thinking more T. Higgins. If the Bengals lose a couple more games, could T. Higgins?
Would you and T. Higgins get a room? Jeez.
I would love to get a room in the Gillette Stadium area with T. Higgins because it means he came to this area. He's on the Patriots. So I'd be happy to get a room with that man. Anyway, we will ask Adam Schefter about that at 3:45. Could the Patriots get in on one of these receivers? Because Gerard Mayo said they were not in on Devontae Adams. They were not in on Amari Cooper. That those teams trading for those guys are in a different point in their cycle, I think is the word he used, for those players. And I agree with him. I think, Fitzy, I'm surprised I didn't see you tweet this because I saw all you people go down this line of thinking. Drake,
holy smokes, man.
What?
It's the us against them. Like, what? You're like... Fear turns to evil. Evil, like, you've gone full dark side in the afternoon now, you people.
No. It's just this balance I have to live. When Arcand is in this chair, I have to be positive because he is the most negative person I've ever met. He was all over how bad the roster is. He didn't enjoy Drake May's Sunday debut, all of that. But when I'm on with you, sometimes I need to balance it out with a little, I call it objectivity, not negativity, but they both end in ivity.
Okay.
Like nativity, and Christmas is coming with eggnogs. Stiz likes that.
All right, focus. I'm impressed.
Yeah, sorry. So what was I talking about? What was I going to tell you? You distracted me by telling me I was negative. You people, oh, that's right. You there people were yep, tweeting we that Drake May was so impressive in his debut that two teams ahead of the Patriots in the division had to run out and get star number one receivers because they were so scared of what the Patriots are going to be in the coming weeks, months, and years.
That is clicktivation 101.
You like it? You like it?
That's pounding. That's thumping your chest just for fun when no one else is around and everyone knows you're the skinniest kid in gym class.
That's Fitzy 101.
The reality, but that's, I used to do that back when we didn't have to live in reality. Reality is now that the Patriots have no business thumping any part of anything except, you know, maybe the post-game buffet after they lose another tough one by 10 at Gillette. Andy, we both know this. Come on. That's having fun or trying to strike up a little conversation on social media.
We need fun in Patriot Nation right now.
We do, but the reality is Buffalo wants to win this division. The Jets obviously are in turmoil, 2-4 now. There's absolutely no chemistry between us. Aaron Rodgers and anyone on that roster except for Lazard, so they go out and get his previous boo and Devontae Adams, a move everyone could have seen coming. The Bills, you know, Shakir's good, gets hurt. Keon Coleman is going to take a while to develop, so they want to try to get something resembling a wide receiver one to balance out an offense that now largely is powered by the rushing attack. This makes sense because the AFC is wide open right now. Absolutely wide open. Good for them for creating an arms race. Let them all chase all the assets, spend their future while the Patriots quietly build towards a better 25, likely 26 and 27.
That voice you hear, according to the Twitch chat, is Nick Fitzy Stevens, who kind of looks like an aged rock star in the chat right now, which I don't disagree with. You got a little aged rock star. You got a little Count Dracula, Count Chocula going on. You got a few different things going on with the hair. But you do look good. You cleaned up for the show. Filling in for Christian Arcan, who's a little under the weather today. Here on WEEI Afternoons, we are asking a simple question. Patriots fans, do you want the Patriots to win on Sunday to feel better about yourself and the culture? Or would you like to pile up another loss, which may help you secure the number one pick in April's draft to secure better players? 617-779-7937, 37937 on the text line. We got EJ in the car and the rest of you joining the conversation next. That is the sound of the police, and the sound of the police seems to be a theme song for the Patriots a little bit of late. Unfortunately, this is not the first time we've had to talk about a Patriots player involved with the law. And the latest, as Fitzy alluded to earlier, and this is Andy Hart here on the afternoon program on WEEI. On Twitch, you'll see my buddy from Six Rings Pod, Nick Fitzy Stevens, filling in for Christian Arcand. And we're going to touch real quick here before we get back to the phone lines. We see you waiting. We're going to touch real quick on Christian Barmore's situation where he was apparently late night. And I'm going to read from a Boston25News.com story. Officers activated their overhead lights and signaled for the vehicle to stop. And the vehicle began to slow stop, which is in quotes, creeping along Elmwood Ave and Bridgeton Street before coming to a complete stop near 343 Broad Street. Providence police say a, quote, slow roll is usually done to hide contraband or weapons before officers get to the window. They approached Barmore, who asked for the reason he was stopped. Police said the defensive lineman had an attitude, quote, unquote, and behaved aggressively when officers asked for his paperwork. So there was other issues. Providence police say Barmore eventually exited the car, quote, pushing away from police while stating that he did not want to be touched. Police officers recovered an ash cup with a blunt from under Barmore's driver's seat and several tubes filled with marijuana. Barmore then entered the black Dodge Challenger and left the scene. There was an issue with his license plate. Was it covered or not? There were some issues there. He then went to social media. The tweet appeared to be deleted sometime Wednesday morning, but it said, quote, I just experienced for the first time five Providence cops being very unprofessional, racism at its finest. And there is no punctuation, so just that's how it read. I read it in totality the way it was on social media. Gerard Mayo was asked about this and said he had a conversation with Christian Barmore, but was choosing to focus on the Jaguars in the game this week. Christian Barmore is not on the active roster right now. You may recall that he was dealing with blood clots, a serious health scare, which many believed would keep him off the team the entire season. In recent weeks, there seems to be a little bit of a softening there where Jerod Mayo has acknowledged that it's kind of trended in a positive direction. Barmore's been active on social media, even posting game photos. People were sort of wondering if he was indicating maybe he was coming back. But Fitzy, these are your boys. This is your team. And I'm not going to do the Jerod Mayo loose culture leads to this kind of crap, because this crap happened throughout the Belichick tenure as well. I mean, obviously, I will be tuning in on Hulu tonight to the Aaron Hernandez docuseries, which details one of the worst incidents you will ever see between an NFL player and the law and authorities, and going sideways in that.
It's about as bad as it gets.
Yeah, but we have Julius Peppers' incident of late, where Julius Peppers... Jabril Peppers, sorry, Julius, didn't mean to mix that up.
I do it all the time. That's why I've just stuck to Peppers now. Yeah. I don't even say the first name.
We have the Peppers incident, where he was found in Braintree. The cops were called, allegations of domestic violence. Allegedly had cocaine. That will play itself out. He's on the commissioner's exempt list. But Christian Barmore, Fitzgerald, what do you make of this? Because I would say simply it's a bad look. I think that's my takeaway. For Christian Barmore and the Patriots, it's a bad look to continue to have players involved in these things. But it's also a bad look for a player who is coming back from a major health issue, who the team just gave a massive contract extension to. So you think he's trying to get back on the field, prove his contract, prove his worth.
They're paying that contract this year as well.
Oh, yeah. They didn't have to. NFI, by rule, they don't have to. They chose to. I think most teams would. But you're right. They are. And he's in what is apparently, reportedly, allegedly, kind of a sketchy area late at night. It's kind of the old Herm Edwards thing. Nothing good happens after midnight.
Exactly where I was going to go with it. Ain't nothing good ever happen right after midnight.
I don't know what he did wrong, or if he did anything wrong, if the cops did anything wrong, if there's a gray area there, but why are you out?
It's a curiously placed ash cup with a blunt and some marijuana. Like, listen,
yep.
It's recreational, and I think 3/4 of the states in our blessed union at this point. I personally think it should be decriminalized worldwide as well. That's fine. But you shouldn't have it in the car. I'm not sure if the officers detailed whether or not the car smelled of exhaled marijuana or ash as well. The idea, though, is just until you get back to the point where you can be playing again, when, like you said, it's a bad look. When you're supposed to be in recovery and in rehab, no one is prohibited from having a good time. No one said you can't go to B-dubs or you can't go to your favorite local sports bar, meet up with the guys, have some wings, have some drinks, do some things, whatever. But number one, you shouldn't be out that late. And number two, you don't even have to call the NFL special line to have someone else drive you home. But these guys that insist on taking out their fancy cars, their whips, if you will, and going around, whether they've had a few cocktails, some craft beers, marijuana, whatever it may be, take a freaking Lyft. Employ a car service. You just got paid 4 years, $92 million, with a whole boatload of that paid up front as well. You can probably afford to have someone else that is in no way, shape, or form compromised or has an ulterior agenda except to get you there legally, safely, one direction and then the other. This is bad decision-making, and I don't know if the Patriots advise everyone on this or not. I'm imagining that they do, and I imagine if any of them are listening right now, they're probably mad, like, of course we do, Fitzy. What the hell do you think we're doing down here? We're supposed to be a top-notch program. We adhere to all the NFL guidelines. I understand that. But then your guys need to actually exact those guidelines and these edicts in the field, because this is a bad look, and it just makes an organization that has fallen very far on the field, now that is falling off the field, look bad. It's just a bad, bad look.
And especially when you consider Christian Arcan and I did a segment yesterday where we kind of went over what guys you would label as building blocks, definitive building blocks for the future of the Patriots.
He's top three.
Absolutely. And he's top three. He got paid. And to have this in the middle of the week also bothers me. Maybe I'm old school, but in the middle of the week, and I know you weren't getting up for practice, and I don't know if you go to meetings. I know you're a Friday fun guy or whatever. I don't know how often you're at
Friday fun. For those who don't know, we cover this on the Sunday 7. He's the Friday funnies guy, so it's his job to search social media and movie clips and put together like lol segments that everybody can watch and crack him up. And
I feel like he just lost that job.
Yeah, well, God Show said he's a super funny person that can't edit worth a crap. So.
Stizzard, what do you got?
Well, you know what? You know the thing that I don't get, right? Like, you catch more flies with honey than you do vinegar. So the thing that I don't get is, like, their disposition, like Tyreek Hill when that incident happened. And it seems to be the same kind of thing happened with Barmore, where they have this horrible attitude from the get. And it's like,
Good point.
I'm not saying it 100% would play out more favorable,
right.
But you have a way better chance if, you know, marijuana in the scheme of things isn't that big of a deal in 2024.
Nope. Right.
Okay. It's not cocaine. It's not other, you know, harder drugs.
Domestic violence. It's not all that other stuff.
If, you know, you're way more likely to have a more favorable experience if you're Christian Barmore, if you're just mature and act like an adult. You know, and not be pushing back towards the cops, not saying things like, don't knock on my window. You know what I mean? Like, well, yeah, I just never get
be
that.
Be kind, cooperative, and compliant, and quiet. Like, just that's it. Just, my bad. Sorry, officer. Okay, I'll be on my way. Thank you.
But that's even an extension of, if he's not there, it can't happen. Right? If he's not there at 1 a.m., it can't happen.
Solid point.
You're in the middle, and this is what I go back to. You're in the middle of the week, in the middle of a football season, where you're not earning your paycheck. And not because you're hurt from football. Like, there's multiple layers where you should be keeping a low profile with your head to the ground and just trying to get back on the football team, get healthy, all of that. And why you need to be out at 1 a.m. on a Wednesday, whether you're going to Gillette or not, it makes me wonder, would he have been out either way? Like, even if he did have practice at 7 a.m., is this the kind of lifestyle he leads? Because if you recall, he was a first-round prospect who they drafted in the second round for a reason. He had baggage coming out of Alabama and Nick Saban.
Character concerns.
Character, motivation, what kind of a professional he was. And this will only embolden those concerns and those accusations, whether fair or not. And then I would add, in the vehicle, marijuana, not a big deal in this day and age, but this is a little hot button issue for me. As somebody who runs a lot, I can honestly tell you, I don't know that I've ever gone on like a 3 mile run where a car didn't pass by me that I could smell the weed blowing out the window. And it's like, I know I'm naive and they probably drink in their cars too, but it kind of annoys me. And he, you know, he's driving around allegedly, potentially smoking. It's just, I'll go back to it. Not the biggest deal. Not the biggest deal this team has faced this month when you talk about Peppers. But it's a bad look for a bad football team and a player who should be looking into getting back on the field and proving his value as a key part of this franchise's future. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to take your calls on the Patriots. Do you want them to win in London Sunday morning against the Jags? Or are you focused on the draft pick? What do you think of Christian Barmore getting in a little heat with the Providence cops? And then, by extension, we've seen this before, Jack Jones and others. What do you think of him and modern athletes going right to social media to, what I would argue, compound the situation, not make it better? Make excuses for yourself. Get defensive. 617-779-7937. 37937. It's the afternoon show on WEEI. It's Fitzy and Hart.